بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, currently we as Muslims are facing many issues in our lives, be it globally, internationally, the genocide, now approximately 20 months or so, the genocide unfolding right before our eyes in Gaza, the persecution of Muslims in other parts of the world, Sudan, Kashmir, as well as other places as well, or be it on a local level, here we Muslims of this country, we have our challenges, be it the disunity, the fighting, the quarreling, the arguing, or be it on a personal level. Each person sitting here, and likewise each Muslim out there, has his amount of challenges, his difficulties that he's facing in his life. And my dear brothers, whilst the reality is that unfortunately, many Muslims, the many things that are happening around the world, the genocide, the persecution, the difficulties, the hardships, this has not even pricked the heart of many Muslims, has not tickled their conscience. Many of them, maybe because of the worldly pursuits or because of being engrossed in some other things, are not even batting an eyelid, are not even concerned about what is going on. But on the other hand, my dear brothers, there are many Muslims, many Muslims, who if you speak to them, they are genuinely concerned, they are worried about what's going on, what's happening, the difficulties we are facing globally, locally, on the personal level, they are concerned. And many times people would ask the question, what is happening? What is going on? How is all of this happening? And sometimes people will make the statement that we are really finished. We are gone. We are destroyed. And today, my dear brothers, I intend, inshallah, to maybe analyze and focus upon the statements that people are making that we are finished, we are destroyed. People are asking that how is this happening? Why is this happening? When is this going to come to an end? And when I say that I want to focus on these questions, analyze these statements, I do not mean that I intend to answer these questions or I intend to reply to these statements. But rather, my dear brothers, I intend to make us think and for us to ponder for a little while in this current situation, at this current juncture, in these difficult times, are these the questions that we are supposed to be asking ourselves? Are these the statements that we are supposed to be making? My dear brothers, understand, one of the most powerful weapons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a human being is a positive attitude. And one of the biggest enemies to the progress of a human being, one of the biggest enemies which stops a person from resolving and solving his problems is a negative attitude. That is why we find, my dear brothers, in the Quran and Majid, and likewise in the blessed ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us, and not only taught us, but encourage us to have a positive attitude. And not only that, Quran and hadith discourage us, and not only discourage us, but forbade us from adopting a negative attitude. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith sharif, من قال هلك الناس فهو أهلكهم. There's two ways of reading this hadith. من قال هلك الناس فهو أهلكهم with a fatha on the calf. Another way is فهو أهلكهم with a dhamma on the calf. فهو أهلكهم. That person who adopts a negative attitude and he says that people are finished, people are destroyed, there's no hope left for us, there's no way out of this situation. When is Allah's help going to come? Allah's Nabi said, فَهُوَ أَهْلَكَهُمْ. People are not finished. People are not down and out. Rather, it is your negative attitude. You creating despondency amongst the people, that is the thing that is destroying them. مَنْ قَالَ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكَهُمْ. The way to read the hadith says, مَنْ قَالَ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ. That person who makes these despondent statements, we are lost. It is end of us. There's no hope left. فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ. He is in the worst position. He is the most finished. He is the most destroyed of all the people. After the Battle of Uhud, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know the Battle of Uhud was the first massacre, the first major tragedy that the Muslims had suffered in their history. And there were many others thereafter. In the Battle of Uhud, we know that many of the loyal, faithful companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were martyred, 70 of them, including the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And not only were they killed, but their bodies were mutilated, their bellies were ripped open, their liver was taken out, chewed upon. People like Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after he was murdered by the kuffar, his ears are cut off, his nose is cut off, they are strung on a string to celebrate the killing of Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Likewise, many of the Sahaba were injured in this battle. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was severely injured in the Battle of Uhud. Every house in Medina Munawwara is affected. Either the loss of a brother, or the loss of a son, or the loss of a father, or the loss of a husband. Amongst this tragedy, amongst this difficulty, amongst this hardship, Allah Ta'ala reveals verses creating a positive attitude in Sahaba despite their tragedy, and warning them against adopting a negative attitude. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. That, O Sahaba, yes, you have faced a major setback. You have faced a major tragedy. Many of your partners, many of your comrades have fallen in battle. Many of you are still wounded. But وَلَا تَهِنُوا. Do not lose hope. Do not become weak. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And do not grieve over your losses. Wa antumul a'lun, because most definitely in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the uppermost and you will have the upper hand. Allah ta'ala has forbade us from having a negative attitude, and Allah has encouraged us and told us to have a positive attitude. The hadith sharif says, intidharul faraj bisabri ibadatun, that to be optimistic, to have hope in the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remain optimistic during your difficulties, during your hardships. Yes, you are undergoing some sort of difficulty, some sort of trial. There is a genocide unfolding right before your eyes. But in that situation, to be optimistic, this also is an ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will greatly reward you for your positive attitude. That is why, my dear brothers, ask any person or ask ourselves, the difficulties that all of us have faced in life or are facing in life, has a negative attitude ever solved any problem? A negative attitude, becoming despondent, losing hope, never solved anyone's problems. It will never ever solve anyone's problems. That is why they say in English that having a positive attitude will give you control over your circumstances instead of allowing your circumstances to have control over you. Having a positive attitude will give you control over your circumstances and will not allow your circumstances to have control over you. Your attitude towards life will determine life attitude towards you. If you are positive and you have a positive outlook, then inshallah things will work out positively in life. But we are always negative. We are only losing hope. We are only asking those questions. What is happening? Why is it happening? Making those statements that we are finished, we are gone. This will never solve our problems, and this will never put an end to our problems. So my dear brothers, we have to have a positive attitude. And when a person has a positive attitude, then this will now lead the person to make positive changes, and for a person to take positive steps towards trying to rectify the situation. And my dear brothers, today in my talk, we should discuss this point, that what are the positive steps, what are the positive changes that we in our lives we can make that can help us to remove the difficulties and remove the hardship that we as an ummah are facing, and we as Muslims of this part of the world are facing, and we on our personal levels, difficulties we are facing, what are the positive attitude, positive steps that we can take? Understand, my dear brothers, currently, let's be realistic about the issue, the genocide that is unfolding in Gaza. there is, unfortunately for most of us, there is not much we can do about it. Whether it's because of our cowardice, our weakness, our lack of enthusiasm towards jihad fi sabilillah, whatever it may be, there is very little that we, most of us, can do about it. My dear brothers, the arguing, the quarreling, the fighting that is going on in our country, my dear brothers, today if a person has to offer sincere advice to a person, to people who are loggerheads, to try to resolve the bickering, the arguing, this falls upon deaf ears and will not make any difference to those people. They have made up their minds and they will stick to their lines. They were not prepared to give an inch or take an inch. And my dear brothers, and likewise, my dear, we become so weak on a personal level that sometimes on a Jumu'ah, the Imam will sit on the minbar and he'll give a talk for half an hour, 45 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever time, speaking about the importance of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this will fall on deaf ears, my dear brothers. Immediately after the Imam makes the salam on the day of Jumu'ah, that person will wake up from his place as though he was sitting on a hot coal all this time and rush out of the masjid without reading his sunnah, without fulfilling the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we come to such a situation, my dear brothers, where we can do very little to change those around us, to do make an impact globally. So what should we be doing at this time, my dear brothers? In the Quran al-Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. O those who have iman, be concerned about yourself. Be worried about yourself. Make some difference in your own life. Remove your weaknesses. Remove the gremlins from your own life. My dear brothers, over the last 100 years, or the last 200 years or so, maybe since 100 years since the fall of the Ottoman Empire, our enemies, the enemies of Islam, and likewise our enemies we have with us all the time, shaitan and nafs, have done a great job. They have done a fantastic job in weakening us. Today, my dear brothers, we are at the rebuilding stage. They have weakened us, they have destroyed us, dropped us to the ground, dropped the building of Islam to the ground. Today, we are in the rebuilding stage. And when a person, I mentioned this before, when a person is reconstructing a demolished building, a collapsed building, you do not start from the roof down, but rather you start from the foundation upwards. We are in the rebuilding stage. We have to start off from scratch all over again. Each person, each Muslim, he is the building block of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have, mashallah, this beautiful masjid. This masjid is not a single-bodied structure. It is not made out of hundreds, if not made out of thousands of bricks. Each brick is strong. Each brick has been baked. It has the capacity to hold the pressure and the weight of the building and the structure above it. Imagine if a person has to mold those concrete blocks. And as soon as he takes it out of that mold, he puts it into a wall and starts building the wall. Of course that wall will not survive. Of course that wall will collapse. Because the building block is not strong enough for the person to build the structure. We want to rebuild the structure of Islam. We want to rebuild the building of Islam. We want to rebuild the ummah. We are the building blocks. Each one of us are the bricks and the building blocks of the ummah. We should try to get our act in order. Alaykum anfusakum. We should be concerned about ourselves, to be concerned about our Islam, rectifying our ways, so that we can once again build the ummah, my dear brothers. Perhaps we can take this one statement home, my dear brothers. Today as Muslims, we should be concerned for the Muslims globally, but we should be starting local. We should be thinking big, but starting off small. We should have a concern for the life of every single Muslim in the world, but we need to start with ourselves. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum. O those who have believed, be concerned, be worried about your own self. Make your own Islam become a solid block that will build the ummah in the future. Under the commentary of this hadith, my dear brothers, there's a remarkable hadith of this ayat of the Quran. There's a remarkable hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sa'lab al-Khushani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator of the hadith. On occasion, people had come to Hazrat Abu Tha'laba al-Khushani radiallahu anhu, the tabi'in, and they asked him, "O Abu Tha'laba, we're having some problem understanding two verses of the Quran. What is it?" They say that on one hand, Allah Ta'ala says that we should command good and forbid evil. But on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala says, "Alaykum anfusakum," be concerned about yourself. How does a person reconcile? How does he understand these two ayat correctly, in the correct context? So Abu Tha'laba al-Khushani radiallahu anhu says, "You have come to the right person. I myself personally asked Rasulullah the very same question. I asked him the very same question. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, O Abu Tha'laba, i'tamiru bil ma'roof wa tanahu anil munkar. O Abu Tha'laba, you go on encouraging people, commanding people, enjoining upon people to do what is right. Continue telling him to perform salah. Continue encourage him to make jihad fi sabilillah. Continue to encourage them to do the righteous and act, righteous deeds and acts of power. And Abu Tha'laba, forbid them from doing evil, from riba, from interest, from fighting, from arguing, from quarreling, and the rest of it. Continue to stop them. Go on doing amr bil ma'roof, nahi al munkar, as long as this is effective. But a time will come, Abu Tha'laba, hatta idha ra'ita shuhan muta'an. But Abu Tha'laba, a time will come when people will become obedient, to their greed, to their love for this world, to their lust for this world. Shuhan muta'an. People become chased after dunya. Muta'an means something or someone that is obeyed. We are ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasul. We are supposed to be obedient to Allah, obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But a time will come, Abu Tha'laba, when people will not be obedient to Allah. They will not be obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they will only be obedient to their lust and their greed for this dunya. Shuhan muta'an. Hadith of Bukhari Sharif says that يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَارِ الرَّجُلْ بِمَا أَخَذَ بِهِ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَمِ. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, a time will come when people will not be at all concerned about the source of income, whether it's halal, whether it's concerned. But money is the name of the game. Building my empire, this is the name of the game. شُحَّن مُطَاعًا. People become obedient to their lust for this world, their greed for this world. Understand, my dear brothers, a very common misunderstanding amongst us Muslims. A person is under the delusion that if I will stick to the Sharia when it comes to my business, to my work, to my job, to stick within the parameters of Sharia, this will, na'udhu billah, person thinks, will deprive me of income. But going beyond the boundaries of Sharia, to not be under the misconception that violating, involving yourself in riba, in fraud, in interest, in rishwa, in bribery, that this will increase our income. Whatever a person is meant to get in this world, my dear brothers, the person will get that. Not an inch more, not an inch less. Not a rand more, not a rand less. Not a breadcrumb more, not a breadcrumb less. Whatever has been written for us, precisely a person will get that. Nothing more, nothing less. But it's up to us to choose, my dear brothers, whether we want to take what's written for us in a halal way or a haram way. What is meant to come to us will come to us. We must decide, we want to take it from halal or take it from haram. Maybe about 2 years ago in our musalla, on one day after Asr Salah, I came out of our musalla, and one musalli, one of our foreign brothers, he came to me with a packet of money. And he told me, "Imam, I found this packet of money lying here in the car park. It was a few hundred rands." Now I know for a fact, my dear brothers, this brother financially was struggling. He could have easily taken this money, put it in his pocket, walked away. Nobody would have known about it, but it would have been haram for him to do so. It does not belong to him. He's not allowed to take the money. But a Muslim, of course, a Muslim is honest. By nature, a Muslim is honest. He was an honest brother, like all Muslims are. He came to me and said, "Imam, I found this money. Try to locate the owner." So now it became my responsibility to try to locate the owner. So then I was thinking, who was here for Asr Salah? And then I remembered Hazrat Qari Ismail Desai Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, was there for Asr Salah at the Musalla. So I thought perhaps, and plus it had a note on it personal, so I realized this person is a person who has some sort of discipline in his life. So I told Qari Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. So I contacted his son, and I told Morana, your father came today to the Musalla, and I think perhaps he has dropped some money here. So maybe you can contact him, ask him that was his money. So he said he will do so. He phoned his father. He called me back again. He said, yes, my father says that is his money and that I must give it to a certain person, our musalla, who will get it to him. So he said, inshallah, I'll do so. Then a little while later, his son phones back a second time. And this was always the habit of our awliya Allah, our pious people. They are very, very generous. So he told me that my father said that you can keep this money. So then I said, okay, what I'll do, I won't keep this money. What I will do, I will give it to that brother who picked it up. I will give it to him because of his honesty, I'll give it to him. What was meant to come to him was meant to come to him. He could have picked it up at the beginning, taken it in a haram way. Allah gave it to him in a halal way. So what is meant to come to you is meant to come to you. Another story, my dear brothers. One person was saying he was doing business with a certain company. So one occasion, he delivered some stock. It was a small order. He delivered the stock to the company. Because of the small order, they paid him cash at that time. So somehow later, the invoice landed up on the accountant's desk or the boss's desk. And mistakenly, they duplicated the payment. They EFT'd the money back to the person a second time. So again, a Muslim is honest. The Muslim person contacted the company and told him, what? You made a mistake. You duplicated the payment. You had paid me cash at that time. And now you've paid me again. Give me your banking details. I'll reverse the amount. He reversed the amount. He says, I carried on a life. Later on, the same company, honesty pays off. The company called me again. And this time, they gave me a much larger order, a much bigger order. He says, I delivered the goods. And when I worked out my profit, he says, wallahi, the profit worked out exactly as the amount that they had previously mistakenly transferred to me, which is haram for me to take. Allah gave me that same amount again, but via halal way. So my dear brothers, Allah has written for us what we are going to receive. Whatever is meant to come to us will come to us. We must decide, do I want to take it in a halal way or take it in a haram way? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that go on commanding good and prohibiting from evil until you say, see shuhan muta'an, people bow down to their greed, they are obedient to their greed and their lust for this world. And wahawan muttaba'an, and go on commanding good and forbidding evil until you see the time that people become obedient and people only follow their whims and their fancies. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Hadith Sharif says that none of you has complete faith. You can never be a complete Muslim until your whims, your desires, your wants, your fancies are not in line with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You can never be a complete believer. But oh Abu Thalaba, time will come when people will not, their whims and fancies will not be in line with the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. Rather the person, what he will do, if the fashion says that you wear bootleg pants and wear your pants below your ankles, then we don't follow Sharia, we follow the fashion. That's what we like. That's what look attractive to us. And then the fashion changes and says you wear your pants above your knees, which is impermissible for a man to do, to wear his pants above his knees, exposing his knees. But we don't worry about the teachings of Sharia. We are not concerned about that. What we like is to follow the fashion. Hawan muttaban. Abu Thalaba, continue amr bil ma'ruf nahi al munkar until you see people following the whims and fancies. Wa i'jaba kulli dhi ra'yin bi ra'yihi. And Abu Thalaba, command good and forbid evil until you see every person only worried about his view. I'm right and everyone else is wrong. I'm going to Jannah and everyone else is going to Jahannam. My opinion is correct and everyone's opinion is wrong. I'jaba kulli dhi ra'yin bi ra'yihi. When you see this happening, Abu Thalaba, wa dunya mu'thara, and you see a person preferring dunya over his akhirah. So the person, the adhan will be called. The adhan will be called for salah. And his shop is open. The person will say blatantly, very arrogantly, I cannot leave my shop to go for salah. Who is going to run the shop? Dunya mu'thara, Abu Thalaba. When you see this happening, then what? Fa'alayka bi nafsik. Oh Abu Thalaba, you cannot make a difference to what's happening in Gaza. You cannot make a difference to the bickering and arguing locally. Then what can you do? What is in your control? Fa'alayka bi nafsik. Worry about yourself. Put yourself right. Get rid of your weaknesses. Why Abu Thalaba? Because فَإِنَّ وَرَاءَكُمْ أَيَّامُ صَبْرٍ. Abu Thalaba, days are coming. Days of great difficulty. Great days of great hardship. Where a person has not got his act in order. He has not removed the weaknesses from his life. Has not removed His the gremlins from his life. Great days of difficulties are coming over Thalaba. For a person to hold on to his deen is like a person holding on to a burning coal. And Abu Thalaba, and this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers. Allah is so kind to us that in every difficult situation, Allah still gives us a great opportunity. In every hardship, there is the opportunity. Adopt a positive attitude. In every difficult situation, Allah still gives us a great opportunity to cash in. O Abu Thalaba, day is coming, Yawm Sabrin. Days when it will be difficult to hold on to your deen. At that juncture, at that time when it comes, if you have got your act in order and you are holding on to deen, you will get the reward of 50 people. A person at that time will get the reward of 50 people. Sahabas, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 50 people. Do you mean 50 amongst those people? 50 amongst people living in our time, you and I? Or 50 people amongst Sahaba? We all know the great rank of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Abu Thalaba, at that time, if you hold on to your deen, a person will get the reward of 50 of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. My dear brother, for Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, for them to hold on deen, they are very great. But the environment was an environment conducive to deen. Sahaba say, that when you wanted to trade with a certain person, even if the person wanted to cheat in business, the environment of Medina was so pure that the environment did not allow him to cheat in business. He says in Medina Munawwara, the environment was so pure that every single person was coming to the masjid for salah. Even the munafiq, even the hypocrite, the person who acting like he's a Muslim, even he will come to the masjid because of the park and pure environment of Medina Munawwara. Allah knows, my dear brothers, we are living in such a time where every message, every social media post, every billboard, every news bulletin is calling us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person can weather the storm and hold on to deen, worry about himself, concerned about his akhirat, concerned about himself at this day and age, then the person will get the reward of 50 of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. My dear brothers, the message, my message to you today is, as I mentioned today, my dear brothers, that today we cannot do much, unfortunately, and inshallah we are positive. The day will come when we will see the Ummah rising again. But for the time being, my dear brothers, yes, we think globally, but we start locally. We think very, very big, but we start off small. Inshallah, we think that we will be leading that army that will be stepping into the courtyard of Al-Aqsa, inshallah. Leading that army that will be liberating the Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa from the clutches of the Yahud. We are thinking big, but we are starting off small. We are starting off small every day, marching to our local masjid for the 5-time daily salah. Think big, but start off small. Allah give us understanding, inshallah.